A couple of weeks ago, I got an email from Timothy Flannery. He wrote, "Online recently, I happened upon the text of a For the Birds broadcast you made on June 19, 1989. You professed you were going to settle once and for all whether a starling could indeed be taught to speak nothing but Mortimer, as Shakespeare would have us believe. You were raising a baby starling, which you had naturally named Mortimer." Timothy continues, "Across the distance of 30 years later, the moment I read that text last week, I felt compelled to contact you in order to ask how your experiment went back then. Did your Mortimer learn to utter Mortimer then? I'm especially interested to know because last June I was blessed by the experience of needing to rescue a fledgling starling and of opening my home and my heart to the little fellow whom I promptly named Mortimer." Timothy says, "The story of raising him is long, as were the months of joys with which he filled the 6 months he spent with me and my family. We became so imprinted that a release to the wild would have been impossible. We secretly rejoiced, having embraced him deeply into our own flock. When he was about 5 months old, one evening on my shoulder as I was doing the dishes, he leaned into my ear and said clearly as a bell, 'Mortimer.' He repeated it a couple of times and continued in forthcoming days. He was clearly mimicking us calling and addressing him. He soon added, 'Come here, come here,' and 'Good boy.' So please know that Hotspur's speech in Henry IV, Part 1, is validated by at least one starling. Again, I'd love to know if we could call that too." Timothy continues, "Very, very sad to say, my Mortimer had an accident a week before Christmas. Although he was extremely precise in his swift flight, and since cold weather moved in, had become very familiar and adept with the indoor space in which we gave him several daily opportunities to soar, either due to the change of configuration based on the newness of the Christmas tree in the living room, or because an oncoming snow squall had so changed the lighting and resultant reflection. Poor Mortimer crashed into our plate glass window, severely damaging himself. He died in my hands as my nephew raced me in his truck through the squall toward the vet. Life has not been the same since December 18th, believe me. Having grown up in rural Pennsylvania with a mother who loved all animals and allowed, even encouraged, me to have a diverse and long list of pets through the years, I can honestly say that Mortimer has spoiled and changed me forever. Being a recently retired Latin teacher and having moved from Manhattan to semi-rural northwest New Jersey, I thought I'd probably want a dog whom I could name Argo, of course, like Odysseus's faithful pooch. But now I am thoroughly captivated by the pronounced personalities of starlings, and truth be told, I just miss my dear talking bird so terribly." Timothy concludes, "As I negotiate my way through these starlingless doldrums, it would help mightily to hear the end of your 30-year-old story, how you ended up faring with your own Mortimer." As I explained to Timothy, our own Mortimer never did learn to say any words at all, so I'm endlessly thrilled that his Mortimer did. And I'm especially delighted to know that a starling could learn to speak Mortimer, even if he couldn't learn to speak nothing but Mortimer. Starlings are one of the very few wild birds in America that we are legally allowed to keep as pets because, as an invasive exotic species, they have no legal protections here in America. As both Timothy and I can attest, they are winsome, intelligent, and even though they don't belong on the American landscape, are delightful birds deserving of respect and love. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.